on my tonight. What's the dealio? I love when it's all too much. 5 a.m. turn the radio up. Where's the rock and roll? Party crasher, penny snatcher. Call me up if you a gangster. Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious?
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 30 of Breaking In. We've done 30 episodes.
Flew past.
I know. That's 30 weeks of content.
It really doesn't feel like 30.
Seriously. It's almost 30 hours of content.
Feels like 100.
All original, never repeated. We've yet to do a clip show.
That is true.
So we'll throw that out there. One of the things that I thought would be interesting to talk about, we haven't really addressed this on the show before, but we're international. People tune in from all over the place. We're very big in Canada, the UK, and Australia.
So weird. I think that's awesome.
So, that being said, we just wanted to take a quick second to throw out a shout out to our...
Specifically, where? Okay, so Canada.
Canada, UK. The people that used to rule us. Australia. But I mean, it's not only that. We've gotten listeners in France, Switzerland, Ireland, South Africa.
That's fucking wow.
What was the? I know we've hit the Middle East.
Yes. I saw that.
So.
I don't remember where.
I don't remember either.
It was pretty awesome. But how weird.
Yeah. Screenwriters are universal. Everybody wants a taste of the pie.
I guess.
So anyway, just a shout out to our international listeners. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. You should drop us a line sometime.
Totally. Feel free to write. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes. Other things that are happening. We're dragging ass because we told Cheryl's daughter that we were going to go record the show. And she's like, but I want to participate.
And she does have a story. And it's like totally online with this show. Right. It is literally, you will all want to actually know her at some point in her lifetime. Right. Because things are coming for her.
But Little Miss Thang had work.
Right.
So we're dragging ass waiting for her.
Right.
Grace us with her
presence. But it's a story of breaking in. It's a happenstance. It's a...
Yeah. How this industry works, actually.
Yeah.
So...
Oddly so.
That's what we're doing.
No, we're not waiting.
There's actually some other stuff that we wanted to talk about. We kind of wanted to talk about query letters this week. I got a couple that were absolutely horrible at work, which made me want to talk about them. I think what I'm going to do, though, is I'm actually going to scan them and put them online.
Take out the details?
Yeah, take out the details.
Here's what not to do, kind of thing.
One of them was, it was literally an advertisement for an idea. So it was just a picture of some crazy creatures. No name, no title, no nothing. It was kind of like the, the Segway? Where the advertisers was like, it's coming.
In a world.
Wait for it.
In a world.
It's going to change things as we know it.
Yes.
And then it turned out to be a fucking Segway. So this one was like, get in on this because it's coming. But I'm not going to tell you what this is. And then the other query letter...
And sadly, people fall for that, but probably nobody higher up does.
No. Another query letter was, I can't tell you about the script, but I'm going to guarantee you it's
top secret.
It's a moneymaker.
Yeah. That's silly. No. That's like, click the top of the screen because you are the 100th visitor to this website, and you will win a prize. It's the same. You're literally offering that it's like advertisements on a web page, and that's not only stupid people click those.
Well, let's talk briefly about the process for a queer letter. So there are certain companies that will accept them. There are certain companies that don't.
From who? Not from random people. I'm
going to go outside of management. There's certain companies that will take unsolicited scripts based and unrepresented. But the reality is, and there's always a guide that comes out every year that says, these are the companies that are accepting query letters, and it costs you like $20. That's a fucking waste of time. Nowadays, with IMDb Pro or anything, just call up a company and say, do you accept X, Y, and Z? Every company is different. I can tell you right now that our company is Logline. We don't want a query letter. We don't want anything. Right. We just send me an email with a logline, and if that hits what we're looking for, then we will get in contact with you. If not, peace out, move on, whatever. So it's really based on the company of what they're looking for, and the only way to find out, your process should be, I think I have a script that company X, Y, and Z will be interested in, so call them up and find out how you can get it to them.
Would they prefer a query letter?
Yeah, query letter or log line. And do that. Why would you waste the time of crafting a badass query letter when the company just wants one sentence? Query letters are long. We don't want to hear your life story.
Would you say they're old school?
Yeah, I don't think that's the process anymore. We're living in a digital age where it's PDFs, and I think query letters are kind of...
ADD is very prevalent, so yes. You need to get your point across in, yeah, a sentence or two.
Right.
Not a page full.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't want a query letter attached to an email. We want it right into the body.
Yeah, you're not going to open a document. Oh, I agree.
Some companies
you
do that.
You can't open the document.
Right. Or the reverse.
Yeah.
It's like... I mean, a query letter is your resume. Well, I mean, a query letter, I guess, is your cover letter. And your screenplay is your resume. And some companies want a cover letter, some don't. Some want your resume right in the body of the email, some don't.
Hey, even online, you're applying for a job, pretty much it's cut and paste your
resume into,
in here. We right. don't want attachment, just cut and paste it.
We don't want Word documents, send PDFs.
Yep.
We don't want long, drawn-out bullshit. You know, and I get it. It's tough. You're trying to break in with thousands of other people. And
make yours as simple as possible. I think easier. Anything that is going to be just right there,
well,
and I don't have to work for it,
and more,
is going to be better.
And more importantly... if you think you're being clever, you're not.
Sadly so.
The sales routine of, this is going to make $1 million, but I promise you, but I can't tell you about it.
Today only, blue light special, $999.99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not the way to go.
No. That makes it sound like $999.
And more importantly, I just want to go back to this, you know, The whole idea of spending $20 to get the guide to companies that are accepting blankety blank, they're just really doing the work for you. Don't be fucking lazy.
It's all out there already. You don't need to pay anybody to give you information.
Just call up any production company that you think your script fits for and find out what they're looking for and what they'll take and what they won't take. They hire people
to answer
the phone.
Don't give your name if you're going to be embarrassing.
Right.
If you're going to be a dick, don't give your name so right. you're not associated, but yeah.
So look for that. I'm going to I'll post those query letters, and this
That's
will definitely
good, yeah.
be a what not to do. other things that I wanted to talk about, we had an interesting conversation with last week's guest, Johnny, during brunch that actually did not make the air, and it just so happened that Vanity Fair released an article kind of talking about this topic, and what we were talking to Johnny about was the idea of the spec market. And, you know, for those of you that kind of sort of follow the trend of Hollywood, you know, in the 90s, scripts were being sold for millions of dollars and people were losing their shit and went from living in a car to living in the Hollywood Hills overnight.
It was a lottery.
Through screenwriting. That is not the case anymore. The spec market has changed. We're looking for franchises, sequels, remakes, which is not based on spec.
Big idea, the...
Right. And more importantly, it is not the road to riches like it used to be. You're not going to be some no-name Shane Black coming out of the woodworks and selling your Lethal Weapon script for millions of dollars. It's not how it works anymore. So the question we got into this conversation with Johnny, and I flat out asked him if he thought the golden age of the 90s was going to turn around and money was going to start getting spent on spec scripts again, and he was adamant that it definitely was.
Oh, absolutely. Everything comes around.
Sure,
again.
Sure.
Fashion, everything.
But things are different. Technology has changed the playing
field. It will be a different type of that, but it will be some elite website that has the next greatest idea for finding scripts.
Right.
And it will be something like that. Everybody will go to that now place to get the script. It's going to be something like that. Everybody's going to have to shrink their stuff. You're going to have to be very much more concise on what you're saying.
Right.
You don't just pitch an idea. You better have something backing it.
Right.
Everybody does. Everybody's got something to back it and they've got it ready to send somebody. It's not going to just be, I got an idea.
Right. which brings me, so I just kind of want to talk about technology for a second. One of the things that I found interesting in the article, and I'll post a link to it too for this week's show, but one of the things I found interesting was the idea that, you know, back in the day, the hottest script, scripts used to be sent to studios and production companies by messengers. That is a dead art form. You know, we don't have people riding bikes across LA giving scripts. It's literally a PDF that gets emailed in the time that you're having your phone call. By the time you get off the phone, the script's in your inbox. It's right. There's no anticipation.
Leave the launch, it's in your inbox.
Right.
Yeah.
And that idea of also translates into, for those of you that don't know, there's a couple of websites that are called tracking boards, which started in the early 2000s, and it's not an expensive subscription, but they're essentially let you know where projects are, who they're with, and what's happening with them daily, hourly.
I think that's what's going to evolve. If not hourly. That's going to evolve into almost like a Wall Street kind of thing.
Well, and so the argument in the article, which to prove your point, is that there used to be momentum that could be created by agents and managers because they could lie and say, well, you know, it's out to Fox, and Fox, I need a decision.
And so-and-so signed on.
I need a decision
blah,
by
blah,
two
blah,
because yeah, so-and-so's moving
about
on
to
this
buy
right
it.
Now. Not the case anymore with these tracking boards.
Everything can be checked. There is no lying anymore.
Right.
You can't bluff. You cannot bluff anymore.
No. Which, again,
everybody who's sending something to somebody saying so-and-so is attached, you better be very firm on that because somebody is going to find out. And then once your cover is blown, your reputation is shit.
Right.
You're a liar. You.
And bluffing used to lead. Bluffing used to lead to these bidding wars that
absolutely
would get millions
absolutely
of dollars
it worked.
Script. It's not the case anymore. That's just not how
there
Hollywood.
There are people in Hollywood still trying to use that ploy. Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. Now it's just you're sad. You can't bluff anymore.
So anyway, will the spec market, you know, will we see millions of dollars for no name screenwriters again? Maybe not. I don't know.
It's going to happen because one person, it's going to be one breakout from the crowd.
Well, yeah, there's always that.
Which creates a fury of, now I'm going to go find the next unknown thing. It's just I want to do my next Blair Witch. I want to do the next. That's what happened when something like that comes out. Mm-hmm. Blair Witch comes out, everybody tries to find the next Blair Witch.
Right.
So
paranormal,
exactly.
Saw,
exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it will. It'll take off once it gets there.
Kind of the last thing that I wanted to talk about is sort of updating you guys on a project that I'm working on, but it's more of a broader conversation about writing for hire, if you will.
Yes.
So I'm currently. I came up with an idea. It was sort of branded out of some discussions I had with a producer friend of mine, and things happened, and I got pretty excited about the idea. It wasn't my most favorite idea in the world, but it could go somewhere. So now I'm writing the script, and I'm busting ass like nobody's business to try to get this fucking script done. And the conversation that I want to have is the conversation that we essentially had all weekend. Number one, writing when you're sort of passionate about it, but you're sort of not.
It's
but
not it's a job. Your idea. It's not your baby. It's right. Somebody else's, and you're doing it for them.
And wanting to do it in a timely manner, wanting to do it, you know, in a week. Obviously, some people can do it, some can't. It's clearly obvious I can't. Oh, well, you know, actually, let's take that moment to talk about my writing process. My writing process is usually fucking 6 months to a year. But at the end of that year, you're going to get a pretty badass script. This is a situation where we did not want to wait. I don't have the luxury of 6 months to a year. I have to
buckle down.
It's a writing assignment, right. And sometimes that's the situation you're in, and you just gotta buckle down and push through it.
Honestly, it's a wonderful test. I think it's a wonderful test of your writing skill. Mm-hmm. Can you do this type of writing? I don't think everybody can do it. I do not think that every writer can handle this kind of assignment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pressure. You and I have talked about. It's not your baby. It's not your What are you supposed to deliver to the person? What are they looking for? What are you supposed to deliver?
Right.
And my feeling is, in this case, because you don't have all the details, they gave you a very broad idea and asked you to run with it. You should come back to them with a vanilla package that they can modify.
Right.
Like a computer program. Here's in general what it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Which way would tailor what character, what do you want to,
right,
yeah,
and then to tailor the
now
specifics.
I will tailor this to you, but here's pretty much the outline of the whole story. It's and very changeable, obviously. It's not set in stone. You didn't go severely in one direction that it can't be changed.
No.
Well, I think is a good idea.
And let's make it clear too, this is not a Tarantino-esque script. It's a very keeping it simple script. There's no complicated. You know who the bad guys are. You know who the good guys are. You know what the mission is. It's simple, direct. So when you say the vanilla package, it really can be tailored because it's just very simple.
Yes. And you and I came up with a million ideas of different characters, where they could go, blah, 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 blah. But it's not ours to say.
Right.
It is not our story.
Right.
This is not our baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone else's baby. You need to find out from the client how they would like it to go.
Right.
And so, you know, you half lamenting that it's not the best story it can be, it shouldn't be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you committed yourself one way and went, I got it, and you detailed everything out. When the client says, that's not what I saw, I would like it to go this way instead.
Right.
Now it's a much different, you're putting too much influence on the client instead of letting them drive the story. They're the ones that want you to do this, not you.
I also kind of want to clarify the fact that we are, you know, this is not the situation that everyone is going to be in. It just so happens that the person that I'm dealing with and that we're dealing with is a close friend of ours. I'm able to walk in and have long discussions with him and sort of tailor. He's the kind of guy that we have a very good working relationship together.
And he has very specific ideas. He is going to read this and go, this is what I want to have.
Right.
He's going to give you that kind of direction.
But it will also be a conversation. It might not be the situation. That might not be the situation for everyone where it's dictated. I want a fucking alien in the third act. Where's my fucking aliens?
And you know what? That's fine. If somebody gives you that kind of direction, bomp, 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 bomp. Can you write that?
Right.
Sure. I can write that. That's your idea, not mine. Let me write that for you. Yes, this is more of a collaboration where you're going to get back and forth for a little while. He's going to let you give your ideas.
Right.
That's great. But it's still his baby. Right. It's his baby, not your baby.
Right. And you know, I think that you touched on a really good point as being able to be flexible. If you're going to get into a position where somebody who has more power than you is going to tell you something and tell you to do something, and you're going to think that is the biggest fucking dumbest idea that I've ever heard, and it's your job to
make it sound cool. Dumb idea, make it sound cool.
There are thousands of stories where executives have dictated where a script is going, and I'm not talking about just newbies. I mean, you listen to any Hollywood screenwriter that's been in this business more than a heartbeat, and
hey, if you don't do it, somebody else will.
Exactly. That is,
you can be replaced.
That's the point.
That somebody else will.
You can, you know, everybody's got a script. Could walk into Starbucks, point to anybody and say, hey, put fucking aliens in my third act. And
Big giant spider in my third act. Yeah, do it.
Giant spider.
Fucking do it.
So that is a realization that you have to have. And there's a way to argue and there's a way not to argue. Luckily, again, in this situation, I'm pretty lucky because there is no argument. It is always a discussion with this guy.
That you hash it out and until you come up with something that makes sense for both of you.
Right. I don't think I've ever been in the room per se when pitching stuff back and forth and said, that's fucking stupid. And there are ways to, you know, you can just, if he's just spitballing, there are ways to ignore that comment and just not talk about it again, and it will get forgotten.
I want to say that there has been times where you've heard with this person, you've heard something that you went, that's so not going to work, blah blah blah, but I have a better way to spin it, which will make him happy. I think just as happy.
And that's actually an interesting point too. Is when you're having discussions with executives, having the ability to what the words that come out of their mouth is not what they want.
Right. Reading
between
the
lines.
End result that they want is
right,
even though they can't explain it correctly.
They can never explain it.
Yeah.
And so it's your job to be like, well, I realize they just said they wanted fucking aliens in the third act, but that's not what they meant. They meant whatever it could be. They want something bigger. They want something smaller. They want something, some climactic moment.
This is like me going to you. Guy in Star Wars who's kind of the traitor, but he's not. Handsome black guy, blah, blah, blah. No, I have not told you anything. I have not told you anything at this point. You have no information that can help you finish writing this.
Okay, I want to
go. Until you go.
I want to go off on a tangent real quick. Because we were at brunch, and she's like, that's like the Star Wars guy, black guy. And
hot black guy.
There are literally two black guys, quote unquote in Star Wars.
Darth Vader. He goes Darth Vader. I'm like, no.
Oh, the other black guy, the actual black guy,
Lando. So yeah, no, so as soon as he heard, he was like, absolutely.
Yes.
He's the traitor. Doesn't know whether he wants to be traitor or not, basically.
Right. Good guy who turns bad guy who turns good guy.
But you are very good at interpreting that kind of stuff. Somebody says something very obscure and out there, and you go, you mean this.
Right. And I think it's also extremely important to, when you get to the end of that meeting or that discussion, you regurgitate it back to them. Okay, so here's the plan. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to do this, and we want to do this, and this is where we're going, and this is where we're headed.
And we're good with that?
And we're good at that?
Where we want to go with that? Yeah.
And I think when you put it, you know, you almost have to make sure you put, the terms are clear. Because, okay, so aliens, third act, right? That's what we're doing?
You want aliens.
And if he says yes, then go fucking do that.
Yes.
And you have, it's off of your creative conscience, if you will, because it's not a situation where you came up with the aliens. He came up with the aliens.
Right. It's somebody else's story. This is literally taking on someone else's story.
So when he comes back and he reads the script and he sees how fucking stupid aliens in the third act are,
he may say,
it's on
Jesus
you.
Christ, that sounds stupid. Take that fucking out.
And the ability to read between the lines and interpret and be like, you know what? If you do that, that causes this, this, and this. But what if we did this? And instead of having that attitude of, that is the most fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard, you come back with something even better or different or along the same lines.
Like tailoring a computer package to someone.
Right.
Your phone package, your cable pack, you're tailoring it to someone. You're trying to come up with, what do you need out of this? What do you need out of this?
Right. That's what's kind of what's going on right now.
We are pausing for Alexandra now.
Do you want to do that? Or, I mean, we're pretty much done.
Exactly. That's why we're pausing. Right. So we're going to pause for Alexandra. We're going to tell a little bit about her story and wrap it up.
Okay. So as soon as she gets here,
be right back,
we will be right back.
You move over.
Yeah. Okay. So we're back. Miss Hollywood Diva Thang has graced us with her presence.
Oh, I'm the diva here.
She's gotten here, yes.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Oh, hey, can I do your show? I'll be there in, I don't know, when. I'm so Hollywood.
Work was hard. I was at work. That's...
Oh, we know. Okay. And so do they. We've already talked about it.
Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, we're all caught up
you
now.
Behind your back.
So a little bit of a setup. So last week you were... Not on the show, per se.
I was near the show.
You were near the show.
In a proximity.
But we were talking about, you're an artist, and that information was now put out onto the worldwide interweb.
Woo!
And we are international people, as we said before.
Right.
So now all 30 of our listeners know that you can paint and draw. And what happened?
I happen to have some of my art out whilst we had a visitor from the movie industry.
Yes.
And he saw it and was like, oh my God, hey. In not so many words, maybe I could use you. And
right.
So I submitted some portfolio stuff, what I could gather together at least, and submitted it. And he said, that looks great. I'll contact you. And then I haven't checked my email yet. And that's where we are in the story.
But
two people.
Oh, that's right.
You had another person.
Alejandra.
Right. Has contacted you after hearing you on our show.
So that's what's called breaking in the business.
So I'm like your little guinea pig?
You are literally.
I'm your field reporter?
You are our baby of the show.
Right.
From our title. You are the baby of the show that you have gotten somewhere. Based on meeting people that were on the show.
I'm slowly getting somewhere. I haven't gotten anywhere.
Right.
I can see. Yes.
Okay, so that's going to be another conversation. Here's the next conversation about that. First gig. Really? first, you know what? It's funny because we were just talking to about Manny being now a writer for hire.
Writer for hire, yeah.
And the difference between that and doing your own ideas. So you paint all the time. You draw all the time. You create all the time. But now you're going to create based on someone else's thoughts. So, and probably under a time constraint for a specified amount of money. How do you feel about that? Do you think you're going to be able to accomplish somebody else's ideas?
That sounds like the most exciting puzzle I've ever heard, to try to figure out exactly how much of myself I can give in a project that isn't, that doesn't have my guidelines, to see how full forward I can get my artist out in something that's not. I'm excited.
Well, and the reality is it, as we were talking about in terms of writing, it always boils down to collaboration. Obviously, you know, look at the you know, the Oscars are, they are what they are, but I mean, costume designers put their own touches on Harry Potter. Visual effects designers put their own touches on whatever it may be.
It's you interpreting somebody else's idea.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about. You have to interpret. In school, in college, you were told, your teacher said, this is what I want you to draw. They didn't give you a lot of detail. They said, this is what I want. And you had to go figure that out. Go figure out what they, what do they want to see?
Draw a dragon.
A foot.
And what does a dragon look like to you?
A foot. Whatever. Whatever they gave you. You had to interpret, and then they would come back and go, that is not what I said. Nah!
Right.
You know what I mean?
Not detailed enough.
Yes. So that's kind of what it's going to be like.
But you still get to leave your fingerprints on the creative idea, you know. It's still,
it's reading somebody
your
else
baby,
you gotta
to a
read
certain extent.
Which Allie and I happen to be very good readers of people, and I think she needs to tap into that when this is going on. She needs to tap into, what are you feeling out of this? Forget me, what are you feeling? I'm gonna draw based on, I'm gonna be empathetic to you. Do you tell me what do you want to see?
And be able to
and be okay with that.
And,
it's
well,
not
and
yours.
Also make changes.
Well, yeah, no, and
it's
knowing
theirs.
The questions to further that, because I've come across that with my current boss, with what she asks to put on the menu boards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't give me a lot of direction, and she's kind of like
waiting
excited
for you
about
to
it.
Give some, maybe waiting for you to give some ideas.
Maybe I also feel like I need to inquire further of what kind of style she's looking for, because she. For a smaller menu board, she's like, see these swirlies? I like those. Do those over here. And I came out with something that she liked much better. I could get a much better read on what exactly that she wanted.
So it's like taking her... She can't think as big as you can think, but you can take her idea. It's the same thing we were talking about with Manny and his writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but you have to give them a vanilla package that they can tailor to what they want. So this is the base idea. Would you like that to be more scary? Would you like that to be more colorful? Would you like it to be more...
Right.
Yeah, no, which, what... This is very vanilla, and it can go either way, any way you want it to go. But what do you see, where do you see it going? Kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It's hard getting that out of people who aren't creative. People who don't do this, don't write, don't draw, don't do that. It's hard for them to describe what they're looking for.
And it's, we sort of touched on it last week, but it was really more about, it was really more Johnny's show than it was ours. But you and I have done that where it's an interesting,
because
you
right.
essentially created one of the creatures in my script. And it was a weird fucked up thing where it's like, I know there needs to be a certain type of beast that lives on this planet. And I can't write it. So you came up with the character design. You kind of sort of sketched it out. And then it was my job to turn around and describe it. And describe it. So it was a very, like, bass-ackwards way of, like, creating this beast on this planet. But then they were it was a central species. I mean, you created an entire species for this planet.
But that's actually a perfect thing for storyboards, where somebody's saying, I have a creature that looks like a shell, but...
And he needs to climb mountains. Make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yes, that's you can do that very well. I know that already.
That sounds more exciting than someone just giving me a blank piece of paper.
I cannot wait. Okay, so her first person that she's going to collaborate with is Johnny. So how interesting is that? Because he is very rigid, by the way.
Really?
Absolutely. He's very, very rigid, has a very set idea in mind. I am going to be very curious to see how the collaboration progresses as far as you being able to influence his thought of mind about something and make it better than he thinks it can be, and him letting you do that or not letting you do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How much control does he need to have? Some people just need to have control over every little piece, and you got to go with that. Fine. Yeah. It's not the best it can be, but if it's what you want, that's fine. It can be better, and maybe you draw something else that is better, but you have to give them what they're asking for. They're paying for it. They're the client.
Yeah.
You give them what they're paying for. What they ask for is what you give them.
That's the hardest lesson to learn.
Who's writing the check? Exactly. Oh, Johnny, aren't you proud? Look, you taught her. You were here like fucking 15 minutes with her, and she got that already.
Good student.
So we will be following the story, so to speak.
Yes, we will. The ups, the downs, the pitfalls.
But it's an interesting thing because we, you know, our show is so focused on screenwriting for the most part, but there are, you know,
a million ways into the business. Here's one of them.
I think that one of the things that we don't really talk about is your ability to draw and create is still the same. It's all the same language. It's all the same. You go through a lot, you know, you and I have had discussions off mic where it's like, oh, I'm trying to write this thing. I'm trying to draw this thing. And we're talking the same thing. We're just, the mediums are completely different. And Cheryl always looks at us like we're fucking crazy.
The process is the same for you too.
No, yeah. I can draw connections between her programming and a lot of my art stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
That's my medium. Yeah, is programming.
But still, the way that you're thinking about it and the problem solving is still the same.
Right.
It is. It's everything is connected. Everything is connected.
And we all do jobs for the check.
Who's writing the check? Johnny, I'm getting those t-shirts printed. Damn it. I go find those t-shirts.
So, so we wanted to share that story with you. And
I think it's going to be very interesting. You know what? It may crash and burn, people. Seriously, it may crash and burn.
But
this may turn into a beautiful relationship.
Yep.
It's going to be exciting to find out.
Either way, a solid learning experience.
Absolutely. God, that's the point.
Yes.
That is the point.
On that note, peace out. That one I did on purpose.
I'm gonna edit the fuck out of this. No, that's getting it. Okay, just say your name.
For this week's show, I'm Manny.
Alex.
Cheryl. Peace out.
Till next week.
Fuck you, Manny. On